The portion of our Holy Scriptures that the world at large is most familiar with is undoubtedly the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments as found in the book of Exodus. Now, you don't have to be Jewish or Christian to have at least a passing knowledge and acquaintance with this text. Now, there are many ways to look at the commandments, but at the very least, they are God's expectations on how we are to conduct our lives. Do not kill, do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not take the Lord's name in vain, honor the Sabbath, and so on. In the New Testament, Jesus adds to this list with what might be considered the 11th and 12th commandment. We read in the New Testament that a lawyer approaches Jesus and says to him, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" And he expects Jesus to name one of those 10. But Jesus comes back and tells him that the greatest commandment is this: "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." But he doesn't stop there. There's more. He goes on telling this lawyer, a second is like this: "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." So here we have two additional commandments: love God, love your neighbor. Now, I'm not going to argue whether these are actually new commandments or simply codicils to the original. It doesn't matter, because I want to keep going and look at what might be considered a 13th commandment given to us by Jesus. And we find that in his story of his resurrection. Now, last Sunday, Palm Sunday, we looked at the account of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem for the celebration of Passover. As he rode into that city, the people recognized the image that he portrayed, the image of a king on a donkey and a colt. And in response, they laid their branches on the ground before him, shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David." A lot takes place in the days following that Palm Sunday, a period of time that we know as Holy Week. Jesus spends some time at the temple teaching the people. Judas enters into an agreement to betray Jesus to the authorities. Jesus observes the Passover feast with his disciples. And then, following that meal, he goes out and prays in the garden, where he is arrested and then is dragged to the home of Caiaphas, who is the high priest. And while he's being interrogated there, Peter famously denies knowing him. The next morning, Jesus is brought before the Roman governor, Pilate. And Pilate questions Jesus and then offers the crowd there a choice. Does he free Barabbas or does he free Jesus? The crowd, of course, calls for Barabbas. Pilate determines that Jesus is to be crucified and hands him to the soldiers, who mock him and beat him and place on his head a crown crafted out of thorns. They take him to Golgotha and place him on a cross amongst common criminals. Jesus hangs on that cross for hours before he dies. And then at that moment, we read that the curtain in the temple, which concealed the Holy of Holies, is split in two. There's also an earthquake. And the Roman centurion on guard at the cross observes all of this and declares, "Truly, this man was God's son." Now, before the start of the impending Sabbath, which would take place at sunset, one of Jesus' followers, a wealthy man from Arimathea named Joseph, goes to Pilate and asks for permission to bury Jesus' body. Pilate agrees, and Joseph places the body in his own personal tomb. And then he seals that tomb with a stone. The next day, the chief priests go to Pilate and requests that guards be placed at that tomb. Because Jesus had told his disciples that he would rise from the dead, and they were concerned that his disciples might steal the body and make Jesus even more popular than he already was. Pilate tells them, "You can send your own guards if you want," and so they do. By our modern accounting, Jesus was crucified and entombed on a Friday. The Jewish Sabbath began at sundown that day and ended at sundown on Saturday. The first opportunity to visit the tomb in daylight where Jesus had been placed would be Sunday morning. So at dawn that day, two women, both associated with Jesus, Mary Magdalene and Mary, who was most likely Jesus' mother, ventured out of the city to that tomb. Although Matthew doesn't tell us why they went, it is most likely they were going to check on the corpse. In that day, it was the traditional job of women to prepare bodies for burial. The women would wash, anoint, and dress the dead. And Jesus' burial, remember, it had been rushed because of the impending Sabbath. So imagine they just wanted to make sure that everything was okay. So Mary and Mary go to the tomb, and there's an earthquake. The reason for this seismic event is that an angel has appeared from heaven. And this angel takes a moment to roll the stone away from the entrance of that tomb. The angel had the traditional appearance of a heavenly being. He looked like lightning, and his presence was so terrifying to the guards there that they became paralyzed with fear. The angel spoke to the two Marys, telling them, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said." And then they invite the women to see the place inside the tomb where they had placed Jesus' corpse just 2 days earlier. The angel continues to instruct the women that they are now to go and inform the disciples that Jesus is raised and that they must go to Galilee, for there they will meet him. And so the women leave. They depart, we are told, with fear, but also with great joy. And they rush back to town to deliver this message to the others. But as they are going, Jesus intercepts them. And he says to them, "Greetings." And the women recognize him, and they drop down and they take hold of his feet to worship him. And Jesus says to them, "Do not be afraid." And he repeats the message of the angel that they must tell the others that they are to go to Galilee. So, have you recognized the 13th commandment in there? Did you hear the words that Jesus spoke to the women? Did you hear him say, "Do not be afraid"? And this, I will argue, is our 13th commandment. And it is probably the one that is the most difficult for us to follow. Fear. Fear rules our lives. Fear is everywhere. Fear restricts us. It hems us in. It traps us. The guards of the tomb are so overcome with fear that they become like dead men. And that's what fear does to us. Fear is life draining. Fear pulls us down. There are a lot of things in our lives that we call fear, but which are actually just phobias. The American Psychological Association makes a distinction between fears and phobias. Fears, they say, is a rational reaction to a potentially dangerous object or event. Fear, for example, will prompt us to seek cover during a storm or flee from a dangerous animal. That's a rational thing to do. Phobias, on the other hand, are irrational fears triggered by either specific or general events or items. With phobias, the anxiety far outweighs the threat that it poses. And there are lots of phobias. For example, some people have a fear of spiders. We call that arachnophobia. A fear of closed spaces is claustrophobia. A fear of blood is hemophobia. A fear of heights is acrophobia. And if you happen to be afraid of giants, then you suffer from fee-fi-phobia. I apologize for that. But when Jesus says, do not be afraid, he's talking about more than just spiders or shadows. He is talking about the rational anxieties that limit us as God's children. Anxieties like the fear of failure, the fear of a death of a loved one, the fear of our own death, the fear of serious illness, the fear of climate change, the fear of mass shootings, the fear of terrorism, the fear of criminal activity. And if we allow it, fear can stop us dead in our tracks. But we gather here on this Easter Sunday to give thanks to God that we are now free from living lives that have to be paralyzed by fear. The words that the angel spoke to the women on Easter morning are meant for us as well. Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen, just as he said. The very worst thing that could happen, the death of God's Son on a cross, has now been overcome by resurrection. Darkness has been replaced by light. Death has been replaced by new life. The promise of the angel is that Jesus is going ahead of us, always ahead of us. And so we do not need to fear the future because Jesus is there. Jesus is in the future. He is in our future. And he is calling us forward and promising to meet us at what lies ahead. The disciples were called to Galilee. Our job is to figure out where it is that we are being called. Most of our fears are indeed grounded in an uncertainty about the future. We don't want to get on an airplane because we're afraid it will crash. We're nervous about retirement because we fear we won't have saved enough money. And when we are stressed by uncertainties like this, we cannot keep Jesus' commandment to not be afraid. We are afraid. But we must realize that the risen Jesus is indeed with us, and we can push those fears to the side and live the lives that we have been called to live. On that Easter morning, two women hurried away from the tomb. They were afraid, but they were also filled with joy. Yes, they felt some fear, but it was beginning to be mixed with a joyful understanding of the possibilities of the future. And then, when they met Jesus, what did he say? He said, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Because Jesus is with us and going where we will be going. Easter gives us the power to live without fear, to obey a new commandment, to trust Jesus to lead us into the future with confidence. And yes, we will still face situations that will make us anxious and afraid, But we don't have to be overwhelmed with them. We don't have to be paralyzed with them. We can hand our fears over to the Lord, the one who conquered death, the one who is waiting for us in our futures. And we can keep that commandment, do not be afraid. Because now we have a risen Lord who has overcome anything that might hurt or destroy us. Because Jesus has been raised, we need not fear. Alleluia, alleluia, and amen.